You want to see if it's clipping?
Yeah.
It's December 4th, 2008, and you are authorized to listen to this podcast on up to two additional computers.
This is Idle Thumbs 8, and I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Nick Brecken.
If you don't have internet access, please call our tech support number. Oh, no. I'm Jake Rodkin.
Hi there.
This is Idle Thumbs 8.
It still is.
Yeah.
In case you're wondering.
Yep.
Actually, it's fitting you said that twice, I guess, because this is actually the second time we've recorded this. I don't know if we should even be telling people this, but
yeah.
We...
No, yeah. it's our secret.
Secret fact, we had a horrible podcast yesterday.
Yeah, we recorded an entire podcast. It was probably about an hour and 20 minutes.
It felt like five.
Well, it took us like two and a half hours, but the actual podcast itself
was grueling and horrible.
Yeah.
So, it contained all sorts of secret deleted scenes that we're not going to talk about on this podcast. So,
yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't know if this one's actually going to be... Hopefully, this is better.
This one is better.
If it's not a great podcast, this could be an in-joke in the making right now. Rest assured, no matter what we do today, it cannot be worse than what we shit out yesterday.
We pulled it out.
We pulled that shit out of our ass and buried it deep in the ground.
Where no one will ever find it.
Yeah. We're also getting started pretty late. We're already off to like a great
second try. Be the best.
Yeah.
I'm late to getting to Chris's house because I guess because my mom is an elementary school principal, as I was saying earlier.
Sweet.
My mom, who is an elementary school principal,
did you get held back a grade? You had to go retake a test.
I had to retake it.
Ouch!
No, my mom had told two kids at her elementary school at one point that I worked at a video game company, which got them extraordinarily excited because they're little kids. Like, oh, sweet,
yeah. Video games.
So I guess she sort of vaguely told them that they could come and check it out sometime, and they got super excited and started and told their parents about that, I guess. And it took me a while to figure out when it was going to happen and all this stuff. But
how did you decide on a day?
Well, first I forgot about it, and then I just checked with some people and found a day, which was a great day because it was a night that we weren't recording a podcast. So,
little did you know,
but
we're horrible.
So, like a few weeks ago, I guess, like the guilt was multiplied further when my mom saw one of those kids in the hall feeling really bad that she hadn't brought them in yet, and said, "I'm sorry about it. Sorry, it's taking so long. December 3rd is the day," and they said, "Oh, it's okay. You're a principal. Principals never lie. I knew you were going to take us to that video game company. So that's pretty sweet.
Guilt trip to the max.
Yeah. That's anyway, so Telltale Games earlier today had two like fifth graders walking around. It was pretty great. Nice. The kid basically opened the door at like full speed and nearly smacked me with the door to the office. And then before my mom could even tell him my name, he was like, "I can make a game. Dude, if I had a chance, I could make a video game." It's like, cool, good. And so, then he asked me if I had any hint books, and told me that The Force Unleashed was totally sweet, and that he hated like... the Xbox.
So you had like a Game Facts poster in your office.
What does he play? Does he play PlayStation?
He likes the Wii and the PlayStation 3.
Sweet.
So we walked around
the
office.
He's getting started. He's ready for the internet. He's a little console part is in training here.
Yeah. That guy, we were, for some reason, the other kid had watched something on YouTube. This also baffles me to think of fifth graders talking about YouTube. But anyway.
Wow, that is a weird, that is actually really
that
strange.
That kid referenced some meme that he had seen on YouTube, and the other kid was like, "Yeah, I'm not allowed to watch YouTube anymore." And then he said, "Except when my mom's not home, my dad lets me watch YouTube." It's
wow.
Like, what the hell is this?
When I was growing up, it's like, you can't watch like the HBO or whatever, because there might be like
you
a
had HBO?
No, but there were specific shows that we weren't allowed to watch.
But yeah,
but I can't remember what they were, which is why I decided to insert a generic reference. But I can't remember at all.
The HBO,
but it definitely wasn't the internet, which we didn't have.
Yeah, no,
I don't think the World Wide Web
existed.
But
these kids were pretty badass. I think if they had the equipment and the time, they would make a game. Like
sweet.
We walked past like some programmers, which they didn't quite understand what was going on, and we walk past an animator who was animating a character walking up a staircase, and one of the kids sort of like put his hand on his chin and was like, yeah, some nice basic general animation there. What? And then he told me that he could make that himself and named some program that he used at home. So
what was it?
I don't remember.
Click and Play?
I think Click and Play even is outdated at this point, Chris. Oh, well, I don't think kids today use Click and Play.
Fine.
You know, HyperCard.
Yeah, I was going to say HyperCard.
HyperStudio. Yeah. HyperCard
was a good one.
But that was cool. You know, we had fun walking characters around and attaching like a chicken and a bird's nest to someone's head and walking them around
Sweet.
The game. Kids eat that shit up.
Yeah. I love it.
It's wacky.
I can't get enough of that.
Yeah. So that was cool, but that's why this is going to be the worst podcast.
It won't be worse than the
no,
failed.
Okay, whatever.
I think I think we can be confident that if you, you know, we're on an advantage here because you haven't heard the one from yesterday. So you can just imagine the worst thing possible and then compare this one to it. And automatically this will be better.
But anyway, yeah. Long story short, those kids were kind of hilarious and are our future. So I was really happy that they were there. But,
nice, that's
but
cool.
Also... I don't have any hint books.
You don't have any hint books. Yeah. Yeah. I what was I going to say? I when I was over at that, during Thanksgiving, I was over at my aunt and uncle's house, who I never see because they live over in Pennsylvania. So I see them probably less than once a year. And they run a school out of their home that teaches like Latin and Greek and stuff. They're crazy. They each have like PhDs and stuff. And like literally
keeping
and
the language alive.
They literally have PhDs and stuff.
Well, I as opposed to like they're just smart, like they genuinely are in fact PhD equipped. And but they also, you know, have no concept of like what video games are or anything, but they know that their students play them. And my mom,
you know,
I guess,
video game music like bleep bloop 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 bleep.
I honestly don't think they would have even that, like, because they don't watch TV or anything
like,
either.
Do
so.
They have sound?
And I think But anyway, so I think my mom mentioned that, you know, I do video game stuff, and they said, oh well, you know, I mean, we have students who play video games. You know, do you have a thing you can show them? And so I gave them a couple Idle Thumbs business cards, and in retrospect, that was a terrible, terrible idea, because they're going to give these to these kids that they teach, and they're going to turn it on, and it's just going to be like, fuck balls, poop, shit from the ass.
But see, now we have VG.
So they should go to VG.
Speaking of which, let's
I guess we should mention that. I think it was last podcast we had Steve Gaynor on, and we were talking about videogames.com, which he abbreviated.
Which is one of our alternate URLs.
Visit us online at videogames.com. Steve, who's, you know, he loves the shorthand, I guess.
Yeah, he's a fan.
He's a fan. But he just called it out as VGVGVG.com, which we don't actually own and is owned by some, like, squatter.
It's like the Chinese or Japanese or something, some Asian, one of those companies that just does the generic, like, you can find anything here.
Oh, yeah, it's
portal.
What you need when you need it.
Yeah, right.
But it's, you know, but it's not an
but
English.
Anyway, so a dude on our forums misinterpreted what Steve said as vigi vigi vigi, like V-I-G-I.
Like a Latin motto.
Yeah, like a fake Latin motto. And he made this really nice sort of official Idle Thumbs seal, like, crest thing. And we thought it was cool, so we bought vigivigivigi.com, which is VIGIVIGIVIGI.com. Check that out for a sweet crest, perhaps some Renaissance era MIDI files.
Yes.
And a trip to Idle Thumbs, the scenic route.
Yeah.
So,
and on that note, I guess also,
so those Latin students should go to that site and tell us that that's not actually Latin.
On that note, there was another, I was just going to talk about weird shit, I guess, on this podcast, but there was, we also now have explode-mode.com.
So visit that as well. Yeah.
Which was made by...
That was made by El Muerte on the Idle Thumbs forums.
Yeah.
Forums.idlethumbs.net.
There you go, yeah. Yeah, we're actually starting
soon
to see
something alternate.
We're starting to see our loyal forum community joined by some brand new forum
fresh faces,
people, so
including
cool.
Senor Super Douche, the creator of Vigi Vigi Vigi.
That's true. Yeah, good point.
So it's not that it's not Senor Super Douche from the song, or the Senior Super Douche.
No, it's Senor, the Italian.
Yes,
all douches welcome.
The old world family of super douches. So well done to that guy.
Yep, so
that was cool.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Now that we've exhausted our weird sort of cache of worthless yes. shit to discuss, like, maybe we can talk about some video games.
This game, a video game.
You know, games.
Games.
No,
well, no, let's not. Let's
talk about well, I was going to start talking about a game, but then.
Oh, no. So, oh, yeah, I hear you have a game to talk about, Nick.
Video games.
Yeah. Yeah, VGs. Yeah, no, I.
Oh,
yeah.
VG.
No, I was checking out the Brothers in Arms iPhone game, which
were you?
Which is actually really impressive for really? An iPhone game. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
not terrible.
No, well, I mean, you know, gameplay wise,
for an iPhone game.
Yeah, does that?
Yeah, like, it applies to pretty shit
for
standard.
Horrible things.
Yeah, for, you know, it's like a 4.0 out of. Oh, out of six.
You know, that's my custom scale. No, I mean, yeah. Is it actually good?
Like, no, I mean, it's really impressively done as an iPhone game.
It's by Game Lab, right?
Game Loft.
Game Loft, I'm sorry. I was thinking of
Game Lab.
Yeah, you know, common mistake.
That would actually be really amazing to see Game Lab's
Eric Zimmerman
take on Brothers in Arms. Eric Zimmerman.
No, it's good. It sort of does like a fake analog stick, like, you know, rather than the touch screen, it's just a dot in a circle and you sort of move that around with your thumb and then there's a, you know, you is drag like around Metroid? And yeah. do mouse look and stuff.
Oh, I mean, like the DS Metroid kind of?
Yeah, kind of, yeah. Yeah, more or less, just with a touch screen. So.
Does it work? I mean, is it a thing you
Yeah, it works pretty well, although what's weird is when you actually, the shoot button's in the bottom right corner, so every time that you try and shoot somebody, you cover up the the speaker. Which doesn't make any sense to me. Like, it seems like you're, whenever you play like an iPhone game, there's always like, you know, you're just like trying to
yeah,
control
it's
it,
not
but like your hand is just kind of
yep. it's a yeah. I can't play. I really do not enjoy 3D real time games on that system at all. Yeah. It's funny because I've actually been, you know, playing a fair number of games on that system, but they're all 2D and they're all very sort of direct
sort
control.
Of
they're not
stuff?
Directional
oh,
control. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they're things where you just drag something directly on the screen. It's not. Like what you describe, where you're sort of inferring, like implying a direction that the game then,
right.
you know, converts
yeah,
into like
iPhone,
a fake mouse.
Definitely,
look.
I mean, just like the actual iPhone UI, the best it works best when your finger actually moves something
right.
around or
right.
states a very direct path that something
exactly,
needs to follow
yeah.
right afterwards.
Like the game
yeah.
I'm playing a lot right now is it's this tower defense game. It's called Field Runners. It's really fun because I've been doing a lot of traveling in the last 3 weeks. I was in Montreal, New York, and Pennsylvania, so most of my gaming has actually been on my iPhone because this game's fun and because I've been traveling.
What was it called?
Field Runners.
Oh,
I think
Field
it's like
Runners.
$5 or something. I mean, it's not super unique among tower defense games, but it's really fun and it's just got like a really solid feel to it,
mm-hmm.
which matters. Like there's another one that I was playing called Tap Defense that it's one of the ones where there's like a set path, whereas Field Runners is just a big open field and you yourself create the path by how you set the towers up.
Right.
And I prefer
That's
that
cool.
style,
yeah.
so... if you're a tower defense aficionado, then maybe you care about this discussion.
Yeah.
If not, you probably don't.
Yeah. Actually,
that's cool. I mean, I wish there were more like trial versions of games because
yeah, I agree.
Like Brothers in Arms is $10 and I don't know if I hadn't just been really curious about it as a game.
Yeah.
I would have ever bought
no
that.
There's no circumstance I would have bought that unless
yeah.
there was some serious
if you
convincing.
Right now said it was amazing. And didn't even say for an iPhone game, I would spend
right, yeah, exactly.
on it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's weird. I've also been playing iPhone games.
Oh. Oh yeah, what do you anything good?
I was actually playing it last week as well, Galcon, which is like it's
oh
a
yeah,
sort of, it's
I got
sort of...
you know I got that and I my problem with that game is one of those things where there's like the first five or something difficulty levels I just blaze through, then
right.
all of a sudden the next one's impossible and I can't beat it.
Mm. Yeah,
it might be more.
I
than
ran
five,
into that as well,
know.
But I just played on the one that was right before impossible until I figured out how to actually understand the strategy of the game and then I was able to progress
okay.
through upper difficulty levels.
Yeah, fair enough.
But that's yeah, I mean that. That game, I really like the way it uses the iPhone interface. It's a
no,
game
it's
with
a
just
good,
sort of
good,
arrays
yeah.
of planets that you sort of conquer by sending ships by just sort of dragging it. Sort of a
yeah,
real-time
it's a very
strategy game.
Basic mechanic.
Yeah, it's
it
super
well.
Simple, but I wasted hours and hours in an airport.
Yeah.
On Thanksgiving weekend, just making little green triangles attack orange triangles.
Right. Yeah.
And it has online play, which is actually pretty nice.
I haven't
because that's
that
how
yet,
you
yeah.
like all real time strategy games or strategy games in general, you press the online button and are then raped in half for like the rest of your life.
Right.
But I occasionally yeah. found dudes who sucked more than I did at that game and
nice.
that was when it got good.
Yeah.
Apple did a pretty good job with it. Just I mean one of the few things you can do on the iPhone that's sort of interesting past the first 5 minutes is looking at the App Store. And all you have to do is enter your password and it just gets billed.
Yeah. It's horrible.
I mean, it's horrible, but it's also, I mean, they clearly learned that really well from iTunes and then just said, okay, well, we're just going to swap the songs out for software. And the development program rollout seemed, I mean, the invite-only beta thing sort of rubs some people the wrong way, but
I don't know what that was.
The development platform in general, you don't even need an iPhone to get up and running with learning how the code base works and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
yeah, I don't really know anything about the process.
It has an iPhone emulator sort of built in. And then if you pay for the full development software, which is, I think, $100, then you can just plug an iPhone into your Mac and just run code from your Mac right onto your iPhone.
That's surprisingly similar to the Xbox 360 XNA.
Yep.
Like, you can just get Game Studio up and running on your PC and just runs, because it's managed code, and like it's such a like a high level system that, you know, you can basically run the same shit on the 360 and the PC. You can just compile it either way, and then if you want to actually run it on the 360, you get the $100 Creators Club, and then you can put it on there, and now there's a marketplace and everything.
Yeah, it's very similar. But I mean, one thing Apple isn't doing, as you're talking about in your survey, that, well, I don't know if Microsoft's doing the Xbox Live Arcade level of certification stuff for the XNA. I'm sure they're not. But I sort of wish in a way that Apple would do that for the App Store.
Remove that certification or do it?
I wish Apple would do it. Like, to put a game up on Xbox Live, you need a trial mode.
Yeah.
You need leaderboards and scoreboards, which is annoying.
Yeah,
but,
right.
I don't mean that Apple should filter content the way that I wouldn't mind if they strongly encourage demos in some way, for instance,
And
also, set your own price is cool, but as there's a lot of iPhone developers right now who are like iPhone game developers who are talking about how the iPhone App Store market is kind of going to shit because you can't, the games people buy are the games that are 99 cents or the games that are free. Right. So if you actually want to make quality content, there's apparently not a lot of Apple is not really doing anything to encourage you actually making a worthwhile game that costs more than 99 cents.
Right. And also the top 25 list, people just game the shit out of it. It's just like people just adjust their prices in like really specific clever ways so that they try to just juggle it and have their game shoot to the top, then they bring the price up.
They put $1 on.
Yeah, that sort of stuff bums me out. And
the other thing about certification though, just sometimes they'll patch a game and break it, you know? Or somebody will patch an app and it'll just be disabled. And I mean, that's really frustrating from a user standpoint. I mean,
yeah. That's a huge trade-off because certification also is annoying and kind of horrible in terms of rapid development.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear developers of XBLA titles talk about how their game is done and they're just sitting there for 2 months limbo, doing nothing. Yeah. It's like, okay, I'm not developing my game anymore. It's not released.
Fart. They're just sitting around farting.
Well, that's what happens. They just fart.
Playing Fable 2.
What else are they going to do?
But, yeah. It would be nice if there was maybe a little bit more of that from...
Yeah.
If not certification... Anyway, we're talking about the iPhone App Store
I want to move off the iPhone.
I love App Stores.
Presumably a lot of our readers don't even have one, so...
Anyway.
We could seg into another game store because Games for Windows Live...
We could what into
seg?
It?
Seg?
Seg?
Was that short for Segway?
Yeah.
We could seg into something else.
Seg into it.
Seg it.
We could seg, then solder some stuff together. You know?
Yeah.
You know, solder and seg. It's the new, platforming franchise.
Slash,
huh?
It's a game. It's a game. A
video game.
VG.
What were you going to talk about though? You were going to seg
games for Windows Live.
Oh yeah, they released a thing today.
Speaking of infrastructure.
Yeah.
What? I don't know. Fair enough. They released a standalone client. And that was the thing that Nick and I were kind of excited about.
Yeah, we were optimistic.
Or at least optimistic, about. Yeah, and it turns out it's not done yet.
No, it's not. They should have put beta on this.
Yeah.
They really should have.
Or just not released it yet, because there's not much on it.
There's not much on it, and a lot of it doesn't seem complete. Like, the way that the interface works, I mean, you've got the big scrolling images for like advertising games and stuff like Quantum Solace and stuff. But when you click on that, it takes you to an external page.
It launches Internet Explorer.
Which, I mean, Steam technically does that, but it does it within a window, within the actual...
And it keeps the Steam style and everything.
Yeah, right. And this doesn't do that at all.
Does it actually take you to a Games for Windows page, or does it just take you to, like...
It's a product page.
Like the Activision Quantum of Solace page.
No, it takes it's against Windows.
It's against Windows, yeah. But it's,
at least it's not just a banner ad.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be terrible. But no, but it's just... The thing that is dumb is that when they came...
the thing
that is dumb is this. when they came to... Shut up. When they came to our office and showed... It, as far as I recall, maybe my brain is like making this up, but I seem to remember it actually having a friends list.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And that's
and
not
you had
there
a separate meeting than I did. So,
well, I mean,
it seems like it would be a huge, like one of the whole points of
right,
of doing
exactly.
That.
Well, like, I installed it today, and I'm like, sweet, I'm at work, but you know, I'm gonna see like what my friends are doing online, and I guess not.
Well, you can do that within a game, I think.
Well, you can,
but
you've already been able to. You can already do it in
right.
In
I know, but you can't do it through the marketplace. It makes no sense. You can't send messages. You can't do any of that.
And but that so, functionality
you can't join a social group.
No,
but that functionality was there when I saw a demo of it. So they're clearly just not done. They just released like an earlier version that I guess is more stable or something. Yeah. But I mean, it doesn't seem like that's.
I wonder if it actually had something to do with Grand Theft Auto, and I'm not really sure why, except that. I have no idea why.
It sounds like a scandal in the games industry. Like GTA, yeah.
Rockstar,
those
guys.
Rockstar.
Well, I just thinking of it now because it just came out, and I'm
they found the secret porn in the friends list, and it's re-rated.
Yeah. No, that game's actually been having a lot of issues. GTA PC.
Oh man, you're yeah.
Yeah, it's a major
I have not yeah
clusterfuck. I mean, there.
It's got that movie maker.
Yeah, yeah. You can make
you
crazy
can make
videos if you can get in the game, which you can't.
Oh
man,
delayed bird
Rockstar
recognition.
Just got rocked.
Stop now. Just, oh, man. Jake just threw a thing. Hopefully that didn't sound like the apocalypse when from your end.
I threw a rock in Far Cry.
And then the pen was thrown.
All right. The pen was thrown.
Yep.
The gauntlet was thrown.
I mean, the pen is thrown.
The wizard is a wizard. Okay.
Never mind.
Anyway, Nick, please tell us what the hell is wrong with this game.
Oh, man, there's so much wrong with it. You can't start the game.
I just can't. I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
No, anyway,
have you actually played it yourself personally?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I read on the internet that something is wrong.
Well, that happens sometimes.
Yeah, no.
Well, I mean, it's pretty crazy. I mean, there are enough people, you know, gabbing about it.
No, so like what sort of stuff's going on?
Well, you can't start it if you don't have .NET 3.5 installed.
.NET 3.5.
Right, yeah.
Who wouldn't have that installed?
You can't start it if you're running the Rockstar Social Club app that is...
But you can't start it if you are
running the Social Club, which is obviously, you know, coupled with the game. It's weird. It's the multiplayer component, but it's now a separate utility, I guess, that runs. If you're running that, which...
I don't even know what you're describing.
I don't really know.
It sounds inconvenient.
I haven't been able to check it out because it's not working.
That is the sort of the Rockstar matchmaking...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it tells you
to
sign in.
Wait, I thought
the
Social Club was like the achievement stuff.
Yeah, I don't think it is anymore.
Okay.
It's a weird thing to change. Yeah, I don't understand
how
it works really because I haven't. You can't log into it right now, but it asks you to log in and you hit the thing and it's like, no, sorry, you're not going to do that.
You're hitting the thing.
All right, so let's say you get into the game.
Yeah, you get into the game and then people are having all kinds of issues. Just the performance is bad on a lot of machines. Some people are having problems where every texture is invisible. almost every texture, I think. There's like the skybox, and then you have like a frame of your car, and then that's like it.
That's a sweet cheat, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it like no clip, or is it just invisible, but everything's still there?
Everything's still there. It's just it's just invisible. And they were saying, you know, update your drivers, and people are updating your drivers. It's not working.
Well, no. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
You have to wait 10 seconds when you turn it off. That helps. Yeah. I heard that.
So yeah, GTA 4 rocking the PC.
Yeah, not really.
Well, that's pretty disappointing. How do you fuck that up that badly?
I don't know.
Jesus.
By developing a game on the PC for a console and then saying, hey, we could just compile this for the PC and release it.
I guess
that.
We already did. Like, let's just, you know.
I feel like that happens a sad amount of time. Well, because I mean, you know, when you're developing something for consoles, at this point in time, you're obviously developing it on a computer. The graphics display on your PC using your 3D accelerator.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could technically just compile that as an EXE.
Yeah, like,
strip all the tool stuff
like,
out.
Gears of War is a good example of that. Like, why Gears of War had a lot of issues, like Gears of War PC, and there's no reason why that, you know.
I remember,
Yeah, that's true.
I was looking up some Fallout thing. I was having, I had a weird problem with a, this wasn't a technical error. It was some weird like game logic thing where a character like fell off a ledge and died or something, and it meant I couldn't complete a quest. But
emergent gameplay.
No, I mean, at this point, I think there are at least three NPCs in Megaton in my game who just know, who are dead. Just, they just died on their own, and I can't complete their quests or like talk to them or anything.
They're like hanging in a closet somewhere.
They're just gone. Yeah.
amazing emergent AI.
Yeah.
If you just don't come back for long enough, they'll think that you've forgotten.
Yeah.
And hang themselves.
It's like Animal Crossing.
that would be an amazing.
Man. Did you see the thing about? Oh God, the racial shit that got sent out to all the.
Oh my
copies.
God! Yeah.
Yeah. What?
Jesus. Yeah. So
Animal Nintendo, Crossing minstrel show.
Basically, Nintendo. Nintendo sent out, I guess, like a cartridge of the upcoming. Is it the upcoming?
No, it's Wild World. It's the DS.
Why did they send out
for connectivity for City Folk?
Okay, so they sent out carts of the old Animal Crossing DS for connectivity, whatever. And
yeah,
and it was apparently. So they made copies of a single person's because it's a DS, and so all your save data is on the cart.
So instead of actually going back to the original retail cart, they just flashed like a ROM off of someone else's
because it had unlocked stuff.
Yeah,
also, the guy's name was Nigga.
No, it wasn't the guy. It was just like one sheep would call him that. Like it was just like,
oh, because that was
like it had been trained. Like that one character had been trained to call him Nigga, but with an Enye. Like
I think the game probably like filters out stuff, so they used all the special characters, the N with the tilde, and all that crap to circumvent the filter, which is amazing.
Press who had not previously played Animal Crossing was very confused. What's up with this sheep? What a weird NPC to put in this game. So that's cool.
Well, you know, Nintendo localizations sometimes make those kind of half-hearted attempts to like use hip slang and stuff.
Right? Yeah,
went a little too far. This time,
horrible
guys.
Twist of fate. That like connectivity data got burned onto the gold disc for Animal Crossing. So,
well, now
the moment you sync up, sheeps will start calling you nigga in your DS copy.
If it was it had a spore style sort of cloud feature where it just gets uploaded to like the central server.
Just unplug it quick.
Friend codes didn't stop it. So that happened. In case you're wondering.
Oh yeah, the Nintendo like instant play anonymous multiplayer. They accidentally forgot to sever the part where characters teach people other things. So you just friend codes are not needed. You just press the quick join, and then suddenly horrible things.
Suddenly,
just,
yeah.
Your game is
just spiraled out.
There's pixel art dongs
control.
Appearing everywhere.
Those are the best dongs of all.
Yeah.
the old 8-bit cock.
Yeah,
it's a cock.
Speaking of of cocks, what a seg. It's a great seg. I'm going to seg the shit out of you guys. Actually, I can't remember how I was transitioning this. I was going to bring up Activision, and I don't remember. It tied in somehow. And
speaking of 8-bit cocks, Activision.
Good point. I don't know. Speaking of cocks, I guess.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
you know, I like
fits for this
Activision.
If the 8-bit cock fits,
that's horrible.
So what are you talking about?
Yeah. Oh, I was just gonna bring up the Nintendo.
The massive shit.
The massive, yeah.
The
there
massive,
was a,
shit.
Massive shit.
Massive shit.
They pulled it out, pulled the it massive out of their shit. Ass. The massive ass. So what is this massive shit?
Massive. The in-game advertising firm held some kind of event today that I don't think was actually a press event.
No, it was to show
event.
Off their in-game advertising.
Yeah, it was an event for advertisers to show them what they can do with in-game
advertising.
Those
are always the events that when the press gets to it and reports on it, people freak out and are really bummed.
Right, I'm assuming that PR people and like business people are right now pissed that a couple press managed to get their way in because they announced a bunch of shit that really had. Well, this is actually the big irony. You have like Activision, who didn't want any of this shit announced, except every single game is Guitar Hero 5, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, Tony Hawk 10. Like, what? It's the lamest shit ever.
Don't tell anyone we're making annual sequels to our key franchises.
Right, exactly.
Our new corporate strategy. Don't tell them that we're actually doing it.
We're secrets. Not stopping this
There's
year.
There's a new yeah. annual Tony Hawk game.
Well, they skipped this year. There was no Tony Hawk this year. But it's back.
And
they,
you thought and no it controller. Might have
been canceled. Yeah, and the one quote about Tony Hawk, yeah. the only detail about any of these games was, you won't be playing this game with a controller in your hand.
Oh, you'll be playing it with...
Jake just had a great pained face there. Yeah, for those. Yeah.
Tony Hawk was really fun when you could play it with a controller. So we're changing that and making it so you have to use the Wii Balance Board or...
Or the Xbox or, Live Vision Camera.
Right, exactly.
Like you're in the movies, but like
right, it's like fucking... air skateboarding. It detects that you thought that you know might have been doing a sweet ollie.
Nick is flailing
Nick
around,
looked like a barrel of monkeys, monkey trying to imitate doing sweet skateboarding moves.
Oh, man.
He's still doing it.
He's not stopping.
Yeah, real skateboard. Yeah. So yeah,
man. Yeah.
I can't even. I can't.
Hot well, scoops dropped at the massive.
There were
shit.
A couple of things. Like the
hot scoops dropped at the massive shit. That was pretty good. Yeah, I can't
thank
even.
Thank you.
I mean, I guess they probably are going to use the balance board for the Wii, but what the hell are they going to do on the other systems? Are they going to release
I hope a they use
skateboard?
A camera.
Yeah, like
yeah,
peripheral plus camera?
People loved it with a guitar. Guitars are cool. You think guitars are sweet when you're 12, and you think skateboards are sweet when you're 12. So it's going to just be this sort of plastic skateboard that clicks in two different directions.
Tony Hawk, though, all my memories of Tony Hawk, like my friends and I played this shit out of like Tony Hawk 1 and 2, like on the Dreamcast. All my yeah. memories of that game are us sitting in a garage, like in a couch, slumped over, like to the right. point where, like, on the yeah, goddamn floor,
right.
like pressing
actually,
18
like,
buttons
stand
for like
and,
an hour in a row, I mean, doing a sweet like grind
right,
across
game,
an entire
game,
level.
The game makes
like,
you look cool on screen.
That's what I wanted.
But
do.
I mean, that's like when people were talking about when Twilight Princess, when it was revealed that was going to use the Wii Remote, people kept picturing that you would have to suddenly start playing that game as a horrible
right.
dumbass, like with your like Link stocking cap on, yeah. swinging the Wii Remote around and just, like,
hiding behind your
people.
Chair.
Yeah. Right. But really, like that game is one of the sloppiest Wii games in the world. Yeah. Like if I would love like a gallery exhibition of people playing Twilight Princess, it would just be people like sunken all the way like to be nearly invisible in their couch yes. with like the nunchuck sort of that, in one yeah. hand and the Wii Remote just sort of
that
waggling
actually,
around really
I think
floppily
I made
and horribly.
A post, I think I made a post about that game at the time. That game is actually sticks out in my mind as one of the most egregious examples like, of me literally just like
game.
Being absorbed into my chair. You don't even need to hold the controller up. It's
right.
it's too buff.
Yeah,
I literally played that game with
you played it in a fetus position.
With my arms like falling down to my side.
Right, I know.
I could not have been less
all of the,
physically engaged.
The ads for the Wii always, you know, have the lifestyle footage of like four like sort of people of very
yeah,
sort of hip
jumping around,
swinging the swords around and stuff. Right. But then that game, you actually look more like the humans in WALL-E than ever before. Like,
yeah. That's exactly
I would love
what it
to, if someone took the gameplay footage that Nintendo released from Twilight Princess and just cut out all their lifestyle footage that they put in and just had a fat guy sort of sitting in the chair.
Making the little jerk-off motions.
Yeah, right. Sort of doing really, really off-putting looking things with his right hand, holding the Wii Remote to do the sword swinging.
My apologies to our readers who sometimes write in and say we laugh at ourselves too much.
Yeah.
I think we're all just sort of picturing like ourselves or more gross versions of ourselves with Cheeto's covered hand holding the Wii Remote, sort of waggling it around, and then watching Link going hup, ho, hup on the screen.
Right. I mean, it really was like I specifically remember that game in particular. Especially because it's a fucking Zelda game. Like, you can just sit there and, like, play it for 5 hours and you'll be in the same dungeon. And
the
you're
contrast
just, like, sitting
with that
there,
was a lot higher, too, because
like,
I think
melting
that was one of,
your
was one
chair.
Of the first big games people bought after Wii Sports.
That's true, yeah.
Where, like, Wii Sports, it does actually encourage you to get up and
right.
be a
yeah,
crazy
right.
man and swing the tennis racket with your friends.
Especially
because
you're playing it with friends, so you don't
right.
want to look
yeah.
like
and
an
then
asshole.
It's like, oh, Twilight Princess, yes, the next game.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I guess the Wii can also have this classic gaming experience. But yeah, anyway.
Hardcore gaming.
So anyway,
yeah.
I enjoy that about Tony Hawk is that you can just sort of sit there like halfway
and,
leaning
and, yeah,
on
be
the couch.
Be a waste of human life.
Your thumbs are just sort of vaguely pressing things.
It's the classic image of the gamer where you literally... It's
right,
like,
it's just the guy still except like thumbs and index fingers are
like rapidly, yeah.
right.
Yeah, you look
but
like
the rest of you, just like
asshole.
Your eyes have washed over. You're sort of like a,
right.
a fish in an yeah. underground cave.
Sadly, the one depiction of video games in films that is accurate. The only element at all.
But yeah, that's all going to change.
With the new,
yes.
You won't be playing this game with a controller in your hand. Or at all. In my case. I'm guessing.
Ouch. But you love Tony Hawk.
Yeah. But I actually did really like Tony Hawk 1 through 4 a lot. Yeah. I played the shit out of those games. They were fun.
Yeah.
Man. Now we've come down from that fucking raucous idiocy.
Maybe we're going to take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break. Video
game. So for this break, we're doing something a little bit different. Chris will be giving us a live song
performance of a message that was sent into the Shaq News. This is a tip, a hot news tip to the Shaq News email address.
Yes.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll have photographic evidence of this. I'm sitting on the floor with my keyboard plugged in to the mixer and a microphone and an email. And I'm going to attempt to read it while...
In song form.
Playing some bullshit thing. We'll see what happens here. I don't know.
Nice burp there.
Thanks. Hopefully that didn't come through too loud. We'll see how this goes. All right.
What the fuck? Just face it. One of our favorite games is officially sold out. Not in stores, but in ratings. This is the worst game I have bought. What's really fucked is some of us have paid up to $500 for a hi-fi def game console, and then the gaming producers are going to put out a two-bit overhyped games out and charge us $60 a game. I could have saved myself $560 by digging out my Sega Genius and the original MK at more realistic graphics, and maybe we're at best fluid the new one where fucking who kicks like that cheesy? Probably the producer. And in that case, he needs to get his ass kicked. The gameplay feels like I'm playing Hungry Hungry Hippos and Rock'em Sock'em Robots. The old font looks like the same font on the original Apple computer. And all the DC characters are just old MK characters. Flash is Kudlow. Green Lantern is the blindfolded fool. Batman is Cyrax. Deathstroke is Fallen Cobalt. Superman is Reptile. You're the new creator of this bullshit. I think you should fire your whole staff and start back from the top. Go back to Atari. No, wait, better yet, stick to Pogs, you lop cheap out, cheap ass bastard. I hope you choke on an action figure. Sincerely, these nuts.
So there's that.
Yeah.
You know, video games.
Yep.
Video games.
So we're back.
We're back, and I guess I'm going to talk about pretension.
Sweet. What about it?
This is one of those things that...
you need to, before you can talk pretentious about pretension, you need to do a requisite amount of throat clearing.
Yeah. Yes.
Also, please prepare your snifter and pipe, monocle inserted. It's ready to go. All right. Well done. All right.
So, I mean, you guys probably don't have much point of reference for this unless you already saw it, but there was a... on the blog or whatever it is called Snappy Gamer.
Snappy Gamer. I read this, but I didn't remember the name of the site.
Yeah.
I
love how you can literally just take any adjective at all and just game or
Crispy Gamer.
Yeah. It's although I will say cloud. I really like Crispy Gamer.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys read it at all, but I think the reviews are great. But yeah, I mean, what does that mean? Crispy Gamer? Crispy? I don't know.
It's crispy.
It's super crispy.
It's extra crispy.
Extra crispy gamer.
Barbecue.
Gamer.
Ranch. Gamer.
Ranch.
Yeah. Strategy chocolate.
Gamer.
Yeah.
Da biz. Anyway, I was looking at this article on Snappy Gamer.
Yeah.
It was an article that was basically, I think it was called like, What's Wrong with Games Journalism, Part 1.
Yeah.
And it was an editorial by this guy who was
basically... Should be like a top 10 list. That would be the ultimate irony.
The top 10 things wrong with games journalism. Dig this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it was an article by this guy who was complaining about how games journalism is just a bunch of pretentious assholes who were English majors in college. Like, he spun this amazing story out about how it's basically a bunch of people who like to listen to themselves talk.
Check.
And sort of
English major, check.
Thank you for listening. Yeah. But
Who are only writing games journalism because they are like failed,
failed novelists,
fantasy novelists, or like
failed Chuck Palahniuk ripoffs.
Chuck Palahniuk, right? Yeah, right. Man, an amazing.
They loved Fight Club, and then they wanted to write stuff, but then It was like there was this whole like internal thought process in this article. Like no one would. I'd be laughed out of the like fucking room if I tried to pitch my book. I'm gonna write about games.
Yeah.
And he talks about, you know, how games writing is this pretentious bullshit when what gamers really want is to know if the game is good, if it has a fun factor of 5 and replay value of 3 and graphics of 6.
7, you know, maybe.
I don't know,
thought they were 7.
I would say 6. Okay, 6.58.
Man.
Anyway. That article made me pissed, and I was further made more pissed by like the first 10 comments, which
Jake is drunk right now is what he's trying to tell you.
You heard me drinking from my
game.
Yeah. Anyway, it was retarded, and I mean, you hear that stuff sometimes from people bitching.
Well, at this point, I mean,
I think part of the problem is just the name games journalism. Is fairly broad. I mean, I think
right.
what this guy's like, what people really want is they just want the facts. They want to know if this game's worth buying.
Yeah.
But, like,
that's games journalism first of all, is... that's game reviewing, well, specifically.
Yeah, I mean, games journalism is a pretty broad term.
Exactly,
but that, like,
yeah.
Games journalism isn't the front page of the New York Times. It's, I mean, the closer analogy... Well, I mean, I guess it's there's news, there's entertainment writing in general, like Entertainment Weekly style stuff that applied to games. And then there's also criticism in the style of film criticism or art criticism. And because the actual, like, sort of games writing community in general is small.
They do all those things.
Yeah, all those people do all those things. They write about all of them just because they're actually enthusiastic about writing about games and they like thinking about games.
Mm-hmm.
And it's weird. I don't know. People need to shut the fuck up. That's all that I was really going to say.
Yeah, that's maybe a little more dismissive than maybe it needs to be put. But no, well, but I know. Yeah, I agree with you, though. Basically,
people aren't going to stop reviewing games like a regular, the same way that you'd see a movie reviewed in Time magazine. That's not going to go away.
Well, the thing that really blows my mind when people get up in arms about that, and people equally, Jake just spilled tea on himself, so that was amusing to me.
Hello.
there he goes. You know, it's similar to we get a lot of comments on Gamma Sutra articles, and I know Shaq News, I'm sure, gets comments like this too, as I recall. And like people
at the Telltale Games blog,
like games will probably not so much the Telltale Games blog because you guys don't write about other games.
No, but, we don't. I just wanted to be included.
There you go. But you know, someone will come. I don't know, BioShock or just I don't know some game. You know, whatever. I'm like Last Express, for example, which is I did an interview about that game recently on Gamma Sutra. And you get people who come and post comments that are like, what the fuck is this? Trying to make a complicated story about themes? This is bullshit. Games, video games are about fun. All I want my games is fun. Who the fuck are you to not make a game that's just about fun, funny, fun, fun? And I just want to have fun and shoot and fun. And it's like, well, why do you, is there a deficit of that? Like,
The Last Express is not fun.
That's what I wonder about people like this. It's like, do they think that because there is a guy trying to make a game, you know, that maybe has, I don't know, well, some other sort of type of aesthetic it's going for, or because someone is writing some kind of game criticism that isn't, I'm going to score this. Do they think that all the other examples are going to go away? Like, disappear?
It's just providing more choice.
Yeah.
It's really difficult, like, just, you know, sitting down to write a review that doesn't have a score and trying to, you know, just talk about something that you like about the game and not necessarily find the one, like, downfall of like the sound on level 6, you know what I mean? Like, oh man, the sound quality wasn't good.
Weren't
and then they'll say
3.
Like, you know, well, that didn't help me decide whether I want to buy the game, you know?
I told you that I thought it was a really fun experience.
Right.
I enjoyed playing it.
But if you didn't mark down like on a checklist, like everything, like every little tiny thing that you faulted the game.
And then even beyond that though, I mean, if those people want that, is there really a shortage of it? Like,
well, exactly.
You really needed
yeah,
it from this
thing.
Specific guy?
Yeah.
Like, you couldn't get that exact same service from a million other places?
Well, I think, yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, the thing you were talking about, Chris, about people being like weirdly protective of their games and feeling like anything that isn't exactly what they already like is a threat.
Yeah.
I remember
that happens with casual games all the time.
Yeah. And it was a major occurrence. I remember you and I both wrote for AdventureGamers.com for a while, and we used to post on those forums.
Yeah. This was years ago.
Yeah. But the adventure game community is super niche, like niche.
Segging into
just,
a new
this little seg. but you know, the that community really, really likes the sort of either like the Myst style first person game or the old LucasArts Sierra style third person game. But if a game would show up on Adventure Gamers that had a jump button or that had quick time events or that had direct control and sort of real time puzzle situations, people would like be up in arms about how, you know, like what a missed potential it was. And there's one more game out the door that isn't this old style adventure game, and people would like mourn for this game because it was like one that had defected over, and like that game was going to be made as that game. So just shut the fuck up. There's 300 million games that are the exact game that you want, and they've been making those games for 20 years.
No, I'm pretty sure that since that other game came out, all those games, they're gone.
Anyway, The Last Express, why wasn't it like real time? Why couldn't, you know?
Why weren't there guns?
Why wasn't it like a parkour game?
This was like when Cliff Bleszinski, who, you know, like, I don't really have anything against the guy at all, but like when he came out, when Mirror's Edge was coming out, and he's like, you know, they haven't shown enough of the gunplay yet. They really haven't shown enough of the enemies chasing you.
Man, wouldn't that game be nice if there weren't guns in it?
Yeah, like, I would have... I mean, the amazing thing is, like, I had the exact opposite reaction. I'm like, wow, since you guys already are making a game whose focus isn't combat, why not just get rid of the combat? But, I mean, the crazy thing that about Cliff's comment was not that he has, like, an opinion about games. Like, obviously, that's fine, but the fact that he just... On its face, just assumed.
Yeah, it's the assumption.
Since it's a video game, clearly it's going to have a lot of gunplay, and they're just not showing it. It's not that it might not have a lot of gunplay; it's just that they just haven't shown it to us yet. And that was like, and maybe that's the case. I haven't played the full version of the game yet, but just even the fact that that is an assumption that is just automatically made kind of blew my mind.
Yeah.
And if you guys don't mind moving on, I wanted to, since you brought up LucasArts, a really cool thing we just got in the office today or a few days ago was. This upcoming book.
Oh, you got the Rogue Leaders
book?
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah, by Rob Smith, who I remember back in the 90s was the editor of PC Gamer.
Right.
And I know he's still around, but
Official PlayStation Magazine, cool, I think, is what he's doing now.
What is he?
PlayStation Magazine,
I think actually tonight in San Francisco, there's the launch event for that book, which I'm going to.
Oh, I'm going to go there. I'll see you there.
Sweet. And maybe we'll see you there.
Are you addressing that to our readership?
Yes. Yeah. Readers at home.
Yeah. No, but it's a gorgeous book. It's funny too, because literally the first half of the book, every single page is like solid gold, amazing. And then halfway through it gets to 1998 and it just becomes the stupidest,
concept art
ever.
Yeah, like, that's too bad.
Basically, after Grim Fandango is released, every game is not interesting.
Yeah,
in
I saw
book.
A few pages in that, like the old, like the Peter Chan concept art for Sam and Max and Day of the Tentacle and all the old Monkey Island 2 concepts
and
stuff.
Well, they also have all like the design flow charts and like cool, like actual development design stuff in there. It's really, it's an awesome book. What did you say it's called? I already forget.
It's called Rogue Leaders.
Rogue Leaders. Yeah. Okay, yeah. It's really cool. A lot of, you know, classic 80s pictures of like 8 sort of slightly stocky bearded white game designers.
Some T-shirts of which, one size too small, say Zach McCracken on all of them.
Some of which have George Lucas like in the corner, like looking identical to all those other guys, which is really weird.
Yeah.
Because I never think of that as George Lucas's company, even though it has his name in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a great book. It was always one of those things where I always sort of in the back of my mind idly thought, if nobody makes that book, I will make it someday. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it seems like the kind of thing that company should be one that has sort of a written history.
Yeah.
Because it's so fascinating. I think it's so fascinating anyway. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, maybe you guys don't care. I don't really know. But LucasArts made a lot of old adventure games like Monkey Island games, Grim Fandango, Full Throttle, Day of the Tentacle, Sam and Max. So, pretty awesome.
X-Wing.
Yeah, X-Wing, TIE Fighter, Dark Forces. Fucking ton of good games they made. Anyway, so I just wanted to bring that up.
Rescue on Fractalus or whatever.
Rescue on Fractalus, yeah. Ball Blazers. Did they make that?
Maybe. The Eidolon.
Yeah, right, yeah. The Labyrinth.
The Labyrinth game.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Zach McCracken.
And the Alien Mind Benders.
And the Alien Mind Benders.
Anyway, enough about that.
Yeah.
That
so now that we've just read off of Moby Games.
Sadly, we read it out of our mind.
Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah.
Yeah. We're going segless here.
Segless.
Yeah. No? Yeah? No?
It's up to you.
Braid.
Orange whip? Orange whip?
Two orange whips.
Three
orange whips. Get it right, fucker.
I thought it was two.
No.
That's three.
Because he wants one for himself.
Because he wants one also, yeah.
Come on.
Seg now has become official Idle Thumbs pronunciation.
Segway. A what?
Man, Snappy Gamer.
Snappy Gamer.
That's us.
Do you guys ever find that you want to rewind time? So I was playing this video game, Braid.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I've had an Xbox 360 since BG. GTA 4 came out, and I finally decided to plug it into the internet.
Wait, are we talking?
Yeah.
For real?
Okay, yes. Go ahead. Do you ever wish you could rewind time?
It's like a bad TV episode.
I heard you can do that in a game.
Oh, in Braid, the video game.
Braid.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was...
Braid,
I
heard you can do that in Braid. Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
I heard you can do that in...
So Braid is this game where you can rewind time.
I heard you can do that in Braid.
Jesus Christ.
Jake just threw a container of Left 4 Dead mints at me, and somehow
it's
I
like
caught
bullet
them between
time.
Two fingers. That was amazing.
You were slowing it down.
Yeah. I heard you can do that in that game, Braid.
So yeah, I've been
terrible.
Yeah, I know. We gotta stop this now. People,
copies
of iTunes are being closed across the internet. So yeah, anyway, I've been catching up on the XBLA games that everyone was raving about like a few months ago, and one of them was Braid. And just one thing that I noticed about Braid that I thought was pretty sweet was that it revealed the time at which you actually fuck up in platformer games. Basically, like it made me realize that, you know, everyone's played platformers basically since Super Mario Brothers, and you always take a jump, you know, run into a guy, die, or fall off a pit. And you blame something like, oh, it was the midair correction. Oh, it was, you know, I jumped a little too early, too late. In Braid, when you rewind back to the point that you think you fucked up, press play again, try to fix it, you die.
Right.
Rewind it, like, maybe an additional half second back. Right. So I find myself sort of going...
I got into these terrible loops in Braid where I just kept, like... Beat, let go, and my guy would just be going back and forth,
little,
and I'm like, I'm just going to let go,
totally
let go,
right? Or
and the weird
like,
thing is,
don't die, die, bonk,
yeah,
bonk. Okay, and what am I doing?
And the crazy thing about that is the only reason, because when stuff like that happens completely unconsciously, subconsciously, and it's only because you've become so familiar with it, like the game has sort of instilled that B button rewind mechanic so strongly that it just becomes something you do reflexively, except you start to do it so much that you actually are not thinking about it at all. So you're not using it intelligently sometimes.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there like, well, ba-doop, 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 like, and it becomes worthless.
It wasn't something that I did when I was playing Sands of Time.
But it was limited in Sands of Time.
Right. But I mean, even the like I would occasionally fall off, like miss a jump in Sands of Time, back up, And then let go of the button and then just watch my guy like go flying off into the pit again. Right. But I sort of blamed the control mechanic in Sands of Time for that more than sort of how I intrinsically play games. But Braid is so similar to Mario Brothers and to other other games like that it made me realize that it was actually my fault.
In Prince of Persia, there's also a lot of context sensitive sort of grabbing and wall stuff that doesn't happen in Braid or Mario.
This is where the pretentious games journalism thing is coming in. But when I was thinking about this last night, and when I realized that it was my fault, it actually was sort of slightly crushing and made me actually think about that, about like, okay, this is where I thought I fucked up, but if I back up, actually it was these 14 other things that caused that to happen.
Right.
And then
tiny little decisions.
Yeah. And then it actually made me wonder what events in my life I had thought a certain series of events had spun out and caused something, and what the actual reason was and how far back something needed to go. And then Jonathan Blow smiled at me very broadly.
Yeah, that's actually pretty amazing, because that really is a big part of what that game's about. And I to an extent found a lot of the actual explicit text in that game to be sort of obtuse to the point of almost worthlessness at times.
Sure.
But the broader themes and just the gameplay and the mood and the atmosphere, all of that was executed so goddamn masterfully that especially for being like basically the first full game that guy has made, like the first sort of beginning to end polished AAA, I'm gonna sell a game like Jesus. Well done.
One of the things that I was thinking about, I mean the sort of it's weird to me that it's been like five or six console generations since Super Mario Brothers, but it's taken that long for both. Like, I feel like Braid and Little Big Planet landed within a few months of each other.
Yeah.
And it's funny that those are two, like, not necessarily mainstream, but at least well-known games that are released majorly. They aren't only something you can download from a forum or that some dude made.
Right, right.
But it's weird that it took that long for people to start really overtly sort of screwing around with things like that in such an overt way. It's the sort of thing that you would have actually expected in like the late 90s when everyone was really into sort of bullshit postmodern irony wackiness, but I don't know.
In video games, though?
I guess not in video games.
Yeah.
So maybe we're a decade behind.
Also, at that time, everyone was so excited by 3D
yeah.
that now at this point, 3D is enough of a known quantity that you don't – it's not exciting just to be doing 3D.
Right. It's actually kind of exciting that both of those games are 2D.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But
yeah.
I just – it's really cool that both of those games take in very different but very sort of bold and pretty well-refined ways they take the stuff, the sort of core mechanics of Super Mario Brothers that anyone at this point just has internalized as someone who plays games and sort of beats them up and does crazy things to them. I think that's really cool.
By the way, speaking of Little Big Planet, I don't have a lot to say about it today, but because we talked about it before, but just really quickly, I wanted to mention one of the ways it's not 2D is the fact that it has the three planes of depth.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, when I first started playing it, I found that really irritating because, and I still have times when I can't get out of the one that I'm in, like, for some reason, and I just get confused. But I have to say, like, upon reflection, that is a goddamn brilliant decision.
Yeah, if
on
they
that
hadn't
part.
Done it like, it would have lost
the,
a lot.
Yeah, with the user created, like, because any Mario game has stuff like that, except it's done by assigning sort of whether something is foreground or background on the object itself. This way gives a really discrete, like very visual, easy to understand, like you can go in front of this or behind this or over this.
Yeah, and it opens up a surprising number of possibilities too. Like the subway level when you're on the subway trains.
Yes.
And then you see the sort of hazy train in the background and then it's like, maybe I could jump onto that. Oh shit, you can. And then you've just transferred trains into the background.
And that's the kind of thing where in a more traditional platformer, that would have to be like object properties, or that'd have to be scripting or hard coded in some way.
Right, but just, you could just, in this that game, just it's exist just, if you decide you want to do it. It's just there.
Super clever. I really am impressed by that whole game. Really, I guess.
I guess also speaking of Little Big Planet, as you guys may know from the last podcast, we started a contest to create an Idle Thumbs themed Little Big Planet level. We got a decent number of people saying they were working on one, but one guy. He goes by Kabooms. That's Kaboom ZZZ.
All one word.
Actually finished one and it's published and you can play it in Little Big Planet. It's
pretty awesome.
It's pretty amazing. We played it earlier.
Really good. It's if you go on Little Big Planet and search by user for Kaboom ZZZ, that's all one word again, like you'll find a Halo level he made and then you have to do find more from this author. I don't know why the search in that game is terrible.
They actually came out today and said they're trying to improve the search.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah. Well, maybe later it'll be easier. But for now, that's how you find it. And it's hilarious.
Great. It's got all sorts of weird references that we didn't know were references to be made.
Right.
If you actually listen to
this podcast, there will be amusing things for you in that level.
Including a boss battle with Senor Super Douche.
Yeah.
It's pretty epic.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a griefing peacock feather monster.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
It's well done.
Also, anyone who is still working on a Little Big Planet level, we're hoping to announce the winners of that and the Name Your Ultra Boost Flavors contest next week on next week's show.
Yeah, we got a lot of Ultra Boost flavors, so thanks for that. We got dozens and dozens and dozens. So
cool. So I think that probably is a good time to go into reader mail.
Yeah, so so that's questions at idlethumbs.net.
Oh,
if you want to send us whatever your username for Little Big Planet or your ideas for Ultra Boost flavors. Also, if you want to go to our forums, forums.idlethumbs.net, and if you actually do make a level and maybe share some screenshots or video walkthrough with the other guys, the Kaboom ZZZ guy did that.
Oh, yeah. If you want to see Kaboom's level but don't have Little Big Planet, just check out the episode 7 thread on the Idle Thumbs forum. He's posted a YouTube video of it.
Yeah. So, cool. Yeah, I guess we can just go on to reader mail now.
Yeah. Reader mail.
Yeah.
Reader mail.
It's mail from readers. All right, so Brian Brookman says, all right, gameplay-wise, it was fantastic, and I love playing it, but here is why I felt Fallout 3 wasn't Fallout-y enough. Number one, he says, one of the greatest things about the original Fallout is that the world felt like a huge void where everyone was far apart. It created a uniquely dead world that no other game has felt to me except other than Shadow of the Colossus. In Fallout 3, there's stuff everywhere, which is not necessarily bad, but it keeps it from feeling like the other Fallouts. That is actually his main point I don't really agree with.
Yeah.
I liked that actually the world was full of things.
I mean, I understand his point. I think it's valid, but I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing that they made that decision. I mean, it's a decision they had to make that, you know, okay, we're not going to make it completely barren, but the fact that there are, you know, houses and things between, you know, between going from point A to point B is what made Fallout 3
awesome
for me. Yeah,
well, you got to do so much goddamn walking.
Well, yeah.
There might as
well
be stuff there to enjoy. I mean, it's, you know...
I mean, that was part of the problem I had with Oblivion, is that when you had to walk from point A to point B, there wasn't a whole lot other than a bunch of fucking leaves
and stuff. If only you had, like,
stuff.
A friendly dog pet who would follow you around.
Yeah.
So, Yeah. I don't know. I don't really agree with that one per se, but there are some others that I do. He says, two of the enemies from the original Fallout, Super Mutants and Raiders, show up in Fallout 3 with a lot of depth removed. They really are just there to be shot. Whereas in Fallout, they actually talk to you, and there was more of a story behind them. I find it odd that in a world where ammo is precious, that they would really shoot on sight every person they see. I don't know, maybe I'm missing something awesome about that part of the world, but I didn't find anything interesting about it. So I don't
maybe
think,
it's cool.
I don't Smarm think applied.
Yeah. No, I agree with him on that.
Maybe the kids like it.
Yeah. I actually found it really irritating because one of the things that I was hoping to be able to do in Fallout 3 is really go through it without having to really shoot much.
Yeah, that's actually...
And you can't do that at all in this game.
Yeah. I haven't really played any of the Fallout games, but just that description alone is disappointing just to hear. I mean, it's really filtered through a guy's opinion.
I mean, almost anyone you run into that's not in a town really only exists to kill shoot you.
Yeah, that's too bad.
You do have to fight, yeah. I mean, there are points where you're in a small area and you've got, you know, ghouls running at you. I mean, you know, there's just tons of forced combat in that game.
I mean, I don't mind there being forced combat, but it really is every single person who's not enclosed in a town, with maybe a couple exceptions for me in the entire game, was just, you know, just there to shoot me, basically.
But that didn't turn you off to the game as a whole.
No, it didn't. It really didn't. But I was disappointed by that, especially initially, because, you know, that's when I was sort of having that conception of, like, maybe...
Expectations for...
To be fair, there are a couple camps where you can... If you're playing as a bad dude, you know, they will, you know, talk to you rather than shoot you on sight. There are a couple instances where you can, you know, depending on your... You know,
but you'd say
good evil disposition.
It's definitely less far-reaching as a concept in this game than in the earlier ones. Would you? I mean, because that's what he seems to be saying.
Yeah, I would have to really think back to the other ones. I mean, I can't quite remember how many times where you actually could befriend.
You're resident Fallout guy.
Well, I mean, I think that game
resident
was...
Fallout 4.
Jesus.
Yeah.
I don't know why that appeared.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I agree with him on that. Nick maybe doesn't mind so much. Number three, he says, the decision to have a faction of the Brotherhood of Steel splinter off and become a generic kind of good...
You know what? Actually, hold on.
Okay.
Well, just if you're comparing the original games to this game, I mean, and you're talking about the Wasteland specifically. Talking about the Wasteland specifically, in the original games... You know, I'm pretty sure almost every instance when you were walking in the Wasteland and it triggered a combat thing... They were always shooting you on sight. I mean, it was always just a random thing where a bunch of guys just saw you in the desert and they're going to shoot you now. I think most of the time when you could befriend guys, it was a scripted thing, you know, when you're in a camp or just some, you know, clearly designed, you know, area. Yeah. But anyway, all right, moving on.
Well, I mean, it sounds like context aside, you were hoping that would be even possibly played up in this game.
Sure. I guess... sort of complaint there is less to do with the comparison and more just my own personal reaction.
Yeah, okay.
You know, I just to quickly end that up, I don't mean to suggest that they needed to, like, record unique dialogue for all... I mean, that would have been insane. But just some kind of basic, like, if you piss them off, maybe, then they will shoot you. I don't know. Anyway, whatever. Number three, he says... I don't want to keep going on.
Okay, number three.
The decision of a faction of the Brotherhood of Steel splinter off and become a generic kind of good is not handled with the kind of weight I think it should have been. There really isn't as much conflict between the outcasts and the rest of the Brotherhood that would have been interesting. Sorry to pull some shit out of my ass, but though the world was immersive, I didn't find the game to be interesting on more than a surface level. I don't agree with that last end cap at all because I found the world fascinating.
Yeah, he definitely was not pulling shit out of his ass.
but I also agree about the Brotherhood of Steel. It seemed really contrived to me. The Brotherhood of Steel faction that you basically deal with in this game. It was, I don't know. It just seemed like, I guess we need some guys who are just conveniently good and nice guys. So I guess there'll be these splinter group. Sweet.
Yeah.
Like
I really can't disagree.
The stuff about the splinter. Faction that they talked about seemed completely inconsequential to me. Like, well, you guys really couldn't work that out among yourselves? Like, seriously? This sounds retarded.
Yeah.
Like, anyway, whatever.
Yeah. Still a great game.
I definitely thought it was a great game. So Brian, we might, the Devil Tesla, I guess as he's known, we might disagree with you on the overall judgment of the game,
but fair points.
Know, fair points, yeah. Erky Linpeer writes, what do you enjoy more, a casting pod or casting improved Spectral Blade?
I'd say it's a dead heat between the two.
Yeah. Jake? Well, yeah, you are Jake. Nick?
Hey!
Hi, my name's Chris.
Oh, hi, I'm Jake Rodkin.
Good to meet you.
Hi.
Yeah. Idle Thumbs?
Merrick.
Merrick Bonsring!
If you guys, yeah. Whatever. All right. Ojibas writes, yay podcast. How do you guys feel about watching someone else play a video game? It drives me insane, and I have real trouble not being a pain in the ass backseat driver with suggestions. My roommate, who's terrible at games, would yell at me if I tried to play Metal Gear Solid 4 without her watching, and has watched at least half of my Fallout 3 wanderings. Where do you guys fall on this? Where do you guys fail on this? Where do you guys fall on this? Are you bad enough dudes to watch video games?
I like to watch them play.
What?
Nick likes to watch, apparently.
This sounds like a creepy kind of question. No, I mean, I know exactly what he's talking about.
Yeah, I think both situations.
I like people watching me play. I don't like watching other people play. I'm very selfish about that.
That's funny.
This is a more specific thing, but when it's an adventure game that I've already played, I cannot stand that at all. Yeah. Where it's like you see some guy walking from room to room.
That's not what I was going to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You like
no,
it?
Keep, no, I'll just keep going. And then I'll,
oh, okay.
And then I'll
but just I have the urge to just take the mouse away from someone and solve the goddamn puzzle is amazingly high for that. But for more sort of challenge based games, I really actually enjoy watching people play. Like maybe if my friend is on a boss and is sucking pretty hard at it, it gets tiring after a while. But
yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
That puzzle thing I have had experience with. Like I tried to get my girlfriend into Grim Fandango and she was like, how do I get the balloon and put the sand in? And she was like doing that for like an hour. And I was like, fuck it. Just get the fuck out of the way. And I was just
mix
like,
the two
yeah,
things.
Yeah, no, yeah. Make the impression on the dental.
It's funny you bring up Grim Fandango, actually, because actually my response relates to both of yours, because I had a friend who was not a gamer and I was trying to get him into games. And I figured he's the kind of guy who would like the sort of just insane creativity and awesomeness of Grim Fandango. And I was right. And I sat there watching him play. And it made me feel like the biggest goddamn idiot in the universe. This guy who does not play computer games, has never played an adventure game to my knowledge, just systematically demolished every single puzzle.
Wow.
No That's breaks. Awesome.
Even
no,
the second act, he got all
well,
that
I mean,
shit?
I wasn't
extra light forest?
I wasn't sitting there watching him for like 12 hours straight.
Because that
but
second
I mean,
act,
you know,
man.
Well, we didn't get that far from me just sitting standing behind his shoulder. But I mean, you know, I don't.
Wait, I want video proof.
But for the whole first section of the game, he just like, if he, you know, he'd find the puzzle, he wouldn't be able to solve it because he hasn't been to the, you know, the place you need to go. He'd keep exploring, he'd find the place, he'd go, oh, he'd go back, he'd complete it, he'd go to the next thing. It was unfucking real.
That's cool.
It was also, when he was at Stanford. And he went to Stanford, and I was visiting him. So I guess in reality,
so you're just wholly demoralizing,
right?
Yeah. In reality, really smart people go there. So yeah. I went to Berkeley, which has a rivalry with Stanford, and it made me feel stupid because he might be smarter than I am.
I guess on the flip side, some of my sort of best or strongest positive memories of playing video games are, I guess what you would call it, like, or just two people playing a single player game, trading off, like, I guess, like hot seat co-op.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, with and adventure games good. In particular.
Also, with adventure games and just a couple friends deciding that they're going to basically try and ruin a single player game.
Yeah.
And that's pretty fun. Grim Fandango is actually hilariously. First time I played that game, we basically sort of co-opted around one PC, me and like four friends in high school.
Oh, really? I didn't do that with Grim Fandango.
Yeah. What always sucks about that, though, is when the one friend decides like he's really bored one afternoon and he wants to just get a little further, and then you miss that point and you're just like completely betrayed.
I've never had that happen.
You played?
I
wasn't there in the room. But yeah, like I remember, I think it was maybe like the Ultimate Spider-Man game, which is a goofy game.
Oh, they were like on PS2?
Yeah. My housemate and I played through most of that. He liked Spider-Man, and I thought it would be fun to just play. And like, but in that, if it's not just watching someone else play, but if you're trading off lives or whatever, I mean, that's sort of the classic, actually, way that I think many single-player video games are more enjoyable. Maybe,
no, I agree. That's how
at least sort of traditional console-y type sort of challenge-based stuff is I love doing that.
Yeah, no, totally. And actually, adventure games were the most Grim Fandango actually was definitely a me sitting in my room for like hundreds of hours or however, you know, dozens of hours.
Like
but
playing a good adventure game with friends versus playing it alone is sort of the equivalent of watching a good movie in a theater full of people who, you know what I mean? When you can sort of bounce off.
That's why I wish.
But I mean, it works.
That's why I wish they were available
on
like consoles.
Puzzle solving, also just having two minds working on the same.
Yeah,
that's
why I played through Day of the Tentacle, Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis, Monkey Island 3 or Curse of Monkey Island, The Last Express, the Blade Runner game. All those games were played with like a buddy, different people in those cases, but they were all there and we just you know, whenever we'd sit down to play. And when, I mean, we never, fortunately, were not assholes and did not did not skip ahead. But, like, it was great. I mean, those were great experiences in my gaming history.
When we played through Monkey Island 2, we would play it together for a while and then copy our save game onto, each person had a floppy that we would copy it onto to take it home in case we wanted to play. But then if someone had a major breakthrough, like, this,
you'd
the friend,
go back to
no, the friend phone network would just basically fire up and everyone would be like, oh, man, you could put the rat in the soup.
Oh, man, I remember those experiences of, like, being on the phone with the... Oh, my God, I had that...
I was like, you'd call your friend and then call waiting your other friend to tell him that if you put the rat in the soup, it will get the cook fired.
Yeah, man, I remember a horrible experience with Indiana Jones and the Fate of Atlantis. Anyone who's played that game knows that...
This is the LucasArts Adventure Game podcast.
Yeah, seriously, we'll wrap this up after this. But anyone who's played that game knows one of the recurring puzzles in that game is concentric circle rotating kind of puzzle matching things. And maybe that didn't make any sense, but whatever. There's those disks with symbols you have to spin around to align them. And one of the last puzzles in the game to get to the last location is like a big one of those.
But weren't those randomized depending on what? Wait, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, I think so. And like we got to it, and we couldn't find the goddamn clue to solve this puzzle anywhere at all. So we sat there and literally tried every single combination, rotating these, like, each ring by one click, like, until we...
You basically brute forced the combination?
Yeah, until we finally and finally got it. And because, we didn't have the internet. It was 1993, like, no internet, right. Well, I mean, I guess there was the internet, but whatever, we didn't have it. There was... we weren't going to call the fucking hint line, which is $2 a minute or whatever. We didn't have a strategy guide.
Actually, quick diversion. Sorry, this is terrible. I'm ruining everything. But the rat in the soup thing, when my brother actually solved that, we tried to call my friend Andrew, but we actually couldn't get him because his phone was busy. And it turned out that he had actually been spending the last like half hour begging his parents for permission to call the 900 number hit line to solve the rat in the soup puzzle. And then when we finally got through and called him, he was like, I know why you're calling. This is terrible.
That's hilarious. He
sank like $5 into the Hintline phone tree. And then my brother, who was like, 1990, he was like 7 or 8 at the time, had solved the puzzle. It was awesome.
That's hilarious.
So anyway, you solved the concentric ring puzzle.
Yeah. And then it was and it was just us sitting there doing it. It was like a mission. It took us multiple days of like coming back after school. And we finally did it. And then we like walked back like the previous room for some reason, and the clue is like plastered on the wall. It like takes up the entire fucking screen, and like we just never goddamn noticed because it's on like etched into the face of the cavern. And I was so pissed. But it was like a pretty. It was the kind of thing where doing it with a buddy made it somehow tolerable. Like it was sort of like an amusingly idiotic experience. Right. Just like, I can't believe we're doing this.
Whereas
like,
if you were playing it alone, you probably would have just quit out of frustration. Yeah. Like fuck that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, so that's a long answer to that guy's question. That's probably maybe not entirely what he was asking. I mean, I guess it's not super fun to literally just sit there if you have no hope of participating.
Yeah, the solution to this problem is like, to trade off lives.
Did you guys ever have the experience where you went over to a friend's house and he just sat there playing his own video game?
Yeah.
And you were never invited to join?
The number of people our age who had like the friend who got the Nintendo before them where it's like, you can play this all the time. Yeah, but I'm playing now. Ah, you're horrible.
I never ever owned a Nintendo or any console. So I was all PC. And so when I went over to a friend's house, like to me, that was a novelty. It was like, oh man, Mario, I totally want to play this. My friend's like, no, I'm playing it right now. But it's yours. Like you could always play it. Yeah, but I'm doing
it. In hindsight, it probably is because those kids' parents would not let them play that game until their friend was over to play with them.
Right.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Nintendo time.
But then like they had this Nintendo that they've been wanting to play forever. And then you show up and that finally like gives them the ability to play it. And then they just want to get as much in as they can. Yeah. And you're sitting there like, I don't even have the potential to not play it.
When your friend comes over, that is the time when your parent...
It's like, okay, you can play video games for 2 hours. Yeah,
well, it's not even that. Like a lot of times it's just your parent like they doesn't just leave want you upstairs, to like discipline you in front of your friends or whatever. So it's like you... but that sucks for your fucking buddy.
Yeah. The amount of time I spent watching someone else play Mario 1...
Right. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Hugely. Same here. Hugely outnumbered.
That game in particular. Yeah. That was definitely the example.
We're like, I sit there. He's like on world 6 something, hitting the turtle shell over and over, getting his lives up to the crown. Like I'm sitting there watching my friend do nothing and just gain hundreds of lives that we're never going to use. It's like, okay, can I use some of those? You have the fucking crown. You've run out of characters for the system's run out of numbers for the amount of times you have do-overs here.
Yeah.
No, I got this.
I'm just doing it.
So anyway, I agree with you. Fuck that.
Yeah.
Fuck games.
Yeah, video games.
Next question.
I think we're probably done at this point.
Oh, we're done with everything?
Well, we're getting on in time at this point.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It's video games.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, feel free to come up with some sort of Ultra Boost flavor.
Or even better, a Little Big Planet level.
We have a huge stack of games that we would love to give you.
We just added the PC version of Shadowrun.
And
Skate It for Wii.
We have also added
Quantum of Solace for PC.
The ultimate prize, an official Gamer Grub backpack satchel hybrid. Yes. So if you want some sweet licensed Gamer Grub gear,
then maybe put in an entry that's okay, but not actually great.
Right.
Because you might get the consolation prize.
It might be a booby prize.
Yeah.
A Gamer Grub backpack, which might contain...
Caller number 9.
It might have the games that the winner did not request.
Right. We'll make it up for you.
Gamer Grub or Ultra Boost.
Yeah, we don't have those.
No, we just have the backpack.
Somehow, for some reason, we have this. So anyway, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Games.
Video games.
One final piece of reader mail. Tim Steltz, a.k.a. Pancake Humber, writes, The Wizard, Episode 7 is awesome. Keep up the good work. My question, what is your game of the year so far?
Far Cry. We're talking about Far Cry.
Yeah.
Far Cry 2.
All times that we've talked about Far Cry 2.
Yeah. Far Cry 3. Thanks to Noack from the forums for that one. Is that good? I mean...
Yeah.